The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
We'd like to apologize.
For what?
To absolutely no one!
The two-time champ does absolutely fucking nothing!
Podcast done.
It's going to be the last. No, I'm joking.
God forbid.
First of many, man. First of many.
So,
good. What episode number is this? Oh, fuck.
Are you still hungover, bro?
Fam. Main Chapel Podcast, episode 126.
Come on.
Special episode, man. This, we've been trying to get this pattern for a while. This is family, you know. If you're hearing this and you're from Chafford, this is a Chafford legend. You already know. We've got Reece King in the building.
Come on.
I'll make some noise. Where's the energy? Where's the energy? Come on. Reece King, it's good to have you on, bro. I don't know why I'm saying your full name like that, but Reece, tell the people about it.
Yeah, because there's other Reeces in school, isn't it?
Say that again?
There's too many Reeces in school.
That's true. Why. There was a few. But this is the one and only.
Come on.
So yeah, tell the people about yourself.
You're not even going to do the introductions.
Yeah, but I'm letting him introduce himself and then you two can get on it.
Alright, say no more.
There's a method to my madness.
It's madness still.
Obviously, it's
just madness.
Yeah, I'm mad. Obviously, I'm Reece King. I do bespoke tailoring, couture, dressmaking. I've been studying it since, I chose textiles in year 8. Carried it through, done a fashion show in year 10, decided to go to college to study it. From college, my teacher suggested me to go to university to do like a specialist course in fashion, which is called Fashion Atelier, which means workshop in French. And it's like all hand craftsmanship and stuff. I got a degree in it, and then, yeah, just kept pursuing it still.
Lovely, lovely.
All right, now, boys, introduce yourself.
I mean, we do it in the order that it's usually done, so
it's just been completely cooked because Demi starts it, but whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, Cole Sanusi in the building, Don Corleone, the one and only.
It's E-Man G45, the G solid, my name, the 4-5 is silent.
Come on.
It's Genghis Jibogwe.
Yes,
it's the Black Mamba Dove. It's the Chi Ayam. It's the Prince of the East. Shout out to you guys. This is episode 127.
126.
No, it's 127.
Am I bugging?
Yeah.
You are right.
It is technically 127.
When I'm right, I'm always right. Come on.
You know what? I respect it. When he's right, he's right.
Mm-hmm.
Two Dems. So we're just going to get straight into it.
Yeah.
You kind of gave a little bit of a backstory or gave a dive into what it was. But like, did you always want to do this? Because I there's obviously instances that like you spoke about the fashion show and then you spoke about textiles in year 8. Was that where it started for you?
No, I feel like I've always been around like creative people. Mm. My granddad was a milliner, so a hat maker.
Okay.
And he could make everything, like from the shoes, clothes, hats. He can make everything. So obviously coming from Jamaica, they had to have a craft of some kind, otherwise, I mean, he was drowning.
Mm.
So from seeing my granddad always on a sewing machine and helping him and stuff like that, I feel like that's where I got my first like taster and introduction to sewing itself.
And then so how would you rate your sewing skills?
Relative to who?
Nah, the reason I ask, and they're going to cook me for this, but my housemate, so he got me into, RuPaul's Drag Race?
Yeah, yeah.
And I know.
Sorry, what was that?
Huh?
What was that?
RuPaul's Drag Race. So basically, it's like they always have to dress up and then they have to make their own outfits.
Right.
And I'm like, how are you going on this and you can't sew? Like, it's been part of the show from its inception.
Yeah.
So I'm just always like, The first question I wanted to ask you was, how good is your sewing? Like, but what would you?
It's pretty good, I guess. Yes, yeah, I can do what I need to do, innit? Anything that I need to do.
No, say it with your chest, man. It's top tier.
It's top tier.
You know what I'm saying? Say it with your chest. It's top tier.
It's elite. Yeah, nah, it's top tier.
So. Nah, I respect that.
I've been doing it for a long time now.
Well, that's what that would be. What helps it really?
I've done my 10,000 hours, innit?
Oh man, yeah. I'm sure I need some.
That's it, man.
So what would?
So before you get, just talk more about this. This niche.
Listen, I didn't think I'd like it either. I think I just like the competition aspect of it. Like, I'm not interested in that world, but the competition aspect of it, like, intrigued me.
So you sew your own garms?
You have to, that's part of it.
Well, it's a competition about drag queens performing. So, like, the whole being, like, a complete threat as a drag queen, being able to act, being able to, some of them can sing, some can dance. And then
so Demi, you're doing drag queen.
I'm not doing it. I knew this is where you were gonna take it. Like,
no, because I wanted to hear it first, and then you said,
"I'm not doing it." So
because it doesn't make sense for me for someone just sew your own garms and just go just chill with a bunch of people. But now because there's a drag queen element, I get the whole excitement. You were doing drag queen.
Me personally, no, and you know me. Like the show was just entertaining.
It's a bit like Bake Off, isn't it? You're not gonna really bake, but the entertainment value of it makes people want to watch it. You know what I mean?
It's interesting stuff. Mm,
yeah.
Anyway, before we get us all cancelled today, even like based off what Demi said, because we used to play football together, so I always saw that element inside of you, and I knew you were into fashion, but like I didn't know you were like really like it came from like a deep place, like your family and that.
Yeah.
Like, where was there like a point where you're like, I'm gonna fully pursue this now. I'm gonna make this my thing.
Obviously, when you get a little knee injury in football and that,
play for Arsenal.
Now, do you know what it was? From when I was young, like before 10, I would say, I wanted to be an inventor. And then, like, from that kind of age, I knew I didn't want to do a 9-to-5, which is kind of mad because I was thinking about my future from like 8 and 9 years old.
Yeah,
and when I started going to secondary school, we started doing art and stuff with Mr. Graham. Big up Mr. Graham.
Shout out to Mr. Graham, man. Good teacher.
Yeah, obviously I wanted to do art, and obviously my family, we're not rich, so I thought I could do art, that's fun, and it's not a 9-to-5, but then I realised these men don't make money, or at least not until they're dead, innit? So I was like, I'm trying to make the money today. Yeah, obviously we had to do DT and then fashion, textiles in. And when I done textiles, I just had a natural affinity for textiles. Mm. And then Miss Wright, she was very encouraging in my endeavours, innit? And then, yeah, I loved it. I thought it's the best. I'm an inventor. It's art. It makes money. And yeah, I can be able to make my own clothes and stuff like that.
It does seem like it's the best of both worlds, especially for you. And I think the most important thing there is like how important your early influences were, because if you say like you didn't like the teachers that taught it, it might have pushed you away, or you might have come to your own conclusions on it, but having those positive influences from the jump is just so important.
Yeah, no, definitely.
I think so what's the goal, what's the aim?
That's a mad question still. Just to get better and better at my craft, to be honest. There's not a goal like world domination or anything like that. I mean, I feel like as you get better and better at something, like a skill, you realise that you're actually so far from being really good at it. Like, as soon as you get deeper into it, you're like, whoa, everyone else thinks I'm good, but look how good these guys are, or look how far away the goal is. Every time you get better, the goal moves. So my goal is just to be working, I guess, in my studio full time, having a small team of people, and creating clothes in digitally and in the real world as well.
When you say digitally, what do you mean?
We're talking metaverse type things.
Yeah, NFTs. Yeah, sure. All of that. So there's like a software called Clothe3D.
It
allows you to make clothes. Like, so I could type in all your body measurements, then it will create an avatar of you.
Okay.
And then I can drape on you. So draping is the process of taking the basic material, wrapping it around the garment to get what the shape you want before it turns into clothes, basically.
Okay.
So I'll drape it on the mannequin, well, not mannequin, the avatar in the digital world, but it's to scale. Okay. So when I print it off the piece of paper to actually cut out the pieces, it's to scale.
That's
what I mean. So,
so is it
cuts out about 50-60% of the process. Like,
so this is called Clove 3D?
Yeah, Clove 3D, yeah. Oh. This was out like come out like 2009, I think, came out, so way before any metaverse stuff.
I see.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
but it's just that the application is a lot easier for people to use it on the metaverse as well.
Yeah, no, definitely.
I was going to say, people buying garments to wear on the metaverse, like, what? Is that how it works, or...?
Well, people will do that in the somewhat near future.
Yeah.
So...
kind of makes sense.
If you want to flex in real life, you want to flex on the ground. Do you know what I mean? You want to flex on the ground, you want to flex in the metaverse.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Why
insane, man.
Why not? But obviously, we buy clothes to somewhat look good in real life. So if you have the money to, and you have like spare money, people spend how much money on FIFA cards or
what they're
looking like in Fortnite and all that kind of stuff. So if you was able to design your own garments and put it on your Fortnite character.
I guess when you put it like that, it does kind of, it's understandable that that's the direction that fashion could go in. Could you ever see yourself, like, I don't know, in a position where you collab with brands or I don't know what they call it, like what Virgil sort of does when he went into Louis Vuitton? Is that something you could
becoming a creative director?
That's it, thank you.
Yeah, I would love to become a creative director still.
Yeah,
yeah, probably of Dior, because I just really like Dior and their style, their ethos, and just what everything that they do, really.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that could be a somewhat long-term goal, to be creative director at Dior.
Yeah.
Speak into existence.
Exactly.
Of course, you have to.
Yeah, it's creative. Yeah, creative director at Dior, that would be really, really cool. In their women's wear.
Yeah.
That's what I specialise in.
Exclusively women's wear, not even...
Well, I'll do men's wear as well, because... like what I do in this studio and for a lot of people, we design both menswear and womenswear, and I quite like both. But I'm really, really enthusiastic about womenswear.
Okay.
Why is that?
Probably because there's just more like diversity, like more things that you can do. Do you know what I mean, with womenswear and what women will accept to wear, kind of thing. Whereas
men
just like form and function, innit? So
I see.
For the most part, it's if you want to sell to the general populace anyway.
I never thought about it like that. I guess there's only so much you can put towards a man, or, you know, there's only so many directions you can go in. But with women, there's so many things, and there's even things that you can try that would be deemed as like, I don't want to say weird, but there's that you can bend the rules more, like you said.
Yeah, no, definitely.
I mean, yeah. What do you think of stuff like the Met Gala?
Yeah, it's a really good place to like show what fashion can do, and like the levels you can take fashion, and because they're not everyday clothes, are they? They're not everyday garments, and they're tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of pounds, depending on what dress. Like, it was like just like red carpet events or whatever, like Rihanna's massive yellow dress taking like 2 years to make or something ridiculous, and crazy amounts of hand sewing. It's just, to people that love fashion, obviously to the normal person, they probably don't really care, but to people that really like fashion, they're like, wow, this is, I mean, people are really pushing the boundaries of what can be possible in the making scheme.
No, I like that. I think that is the best way to look at it. And they always seem to push the boundaries at that sort of, those sorts of events as well.
It's kind of like, isn't there a London Fashion Week like now or next week or something like that?
Yeah, it's next week, isn't it?
Do you feel like there's like a lot of, I mean, there are regional differences as far as like what people wear and that, but do you feel like you gain different types of inspiration by, let's say, if you watch a Met Gala compared to like a London Fashion Week, or is it kind of more or less the same kind of thing you'll see at these type of events?
No, they're somewhat trying to achieve different things, isn't it?
Okay.
So
break it down for somebody who doesn't. He's not in that.
In the Met Gala, there's usually a
theme.
Yeah, theme. Yeah, that's the word. It's usually a theme, so people try to come like as close to the theme as they can, and with all different types of designers, and sometimes the theme can be something where, I know, I think the last one's like American, like a American, is it culture?
Yeah.
Yeah, so then like, you're more like to wear American designers and those types of things, isn't it?
Right.
Whereas in London Fashion Week, it's whatever designer wanted to create for his concept for of that time.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? So there's a lot more movement in what he can do. Do you know what I mean? Or what she can do in creating. So they're trying to achieve different things.
What was the concept at this time for you?
For what projects that I'm what for project that I'm doing. A lot of our things are based around like minimalistic clothing, and we're really inspired by like Japanese heritage mixing with like the English heritage and the English techniques of tailoring and those types of things.
Okay.
So yeah, that's where we're at right now. Like, some of the things that we're making.
So try and paint a picture for us. So that's some of the stuff you're making at the moment. What's is it like you're trying to infuse a kimono and trying to put it into regular culture?
Somewhat, but there's like different types of kimonos and different types of cuts and fits that the Japanese have, and like really like interesting methods of pattern cutting.
Yeah.
So pattern cutting is the process in which you manipulate like blocks of clothing, so like basic shapes of clothing, to turn them into other shapes that you wanted to achieve. So the Japanese have really interesting methods in doing that. And it's just really inspiring to learn and to incorporate in our work, because we don't have so much of that in England. So, and all the like old English techniques are really interesting as well, especially like the Savoy hand craftsmanship stuff. So like incorporating the two, it just creates something just something a bit different.
I think that's the direction everyone would want to go. You want to make you want to make stuff that's going to stand out. And I think it's also kind of forward thinking, because it's not in the mainstream either.
Yeah.
So there's obviously a lane for it. So I guess my question is, you speak a lot about Japanese culture and it inspiring you. What specifically about it?
I'm not too sure, you know, to be honest. When I really delve into my mind, I just like everything that's like, the way everything that they have is like really ceremonious. Like my graduate collection, for instance, my concept was seppuku. So I started off with the samurai, and then I was delving, okay, what about the samurai do I like? And I like, they have this ceremony that if they dishonor their emperor or their like feudal lord, then to regain their honor, they would have to kill themselves by the slicing of the abdomen, which is called seppuku. And I was looking at that and I just found it really interesting. So I would take some of those images and like I would have like small slices in my garments, and then I'd have like straps that go through the slices.
Okay.
And the way that you dress the garment is like in the direction of the slice.
Oh,
you know what I mean? So it wouldn't be obvious. Like if you just looked at it, you wouldn't be able to necessarily know. Obviously, it's that. But when you look into why I've done that, then there would be the reasons behind it. So it's just about creating a concept that's not too obvious, but with intelligent design.
No, I get that. I think that is.
So, for example, something they won't be able to see, but something like that blazer, the way it's set, so the way you do the button is pretty much like that.
Not that one necessarily. That one's more of like a custom piece that we done for somebody. They was going to a wedding, so that one's just got different layers of like the jacket in. So there's the shawl piece is like made of a shiny, like a satin fabric.
Yeah,
and then the rest of the garment is just a regular like suiting, like a black suiting. So it has that formal dinner element, but it's also you can take the shawl piece off and then it's casual, like it's more of a casual look. It's versatile.
No, I love that, and I guess that's the most important thing.
I'm gonna adjust your mic, please.
Yeah, sure.
People want it to be, but people want what they wearing to feel versatile? Like, there's a lot of situations where you could wear it in.
Yeah.
How do you feel about the current state of fashion?
In what context? Like,
Kanye West and his UGG boots.
And his space boots.
And his clog. His silicone clog boots. Balenciaga.
Balenciaga.
You know, I quite like some of the Kanye futuristic looking stuff.
Yeah.
I think it's quite cool. And it's different, isn't it? So
I like the Balenciaga sneakers. The one with the spring and the one without the spring. The new ones.
Shoes with springs in them.
Yeah.
When you say, describe it to me, when you say, like, actual... I'm going to have to Google this.
Yeah, you're going to have to Google it. Because the way I can't really describe it. It's called the Expander, and then there's another one, which is the Balenciaga Trainer 65. Sneaker.
No
yeah.
way. What is it, Balenciaga?
Expander.
Right.
Yeah.
I've got to get into this.
I actually like them. Like, the way they look, they look actually decent. It's too far forward, but it makes sense in my mind.
But I guess you kind of do get rewarded for kind of just doing things differently, you know?
Hey, like, no way.
Let me see.
But the is Balenciaga...
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, not them ones, like bro.
The things that
Paralympics. Wait, hold on, let me see. Oh, yeah, them ones, them ones.
No way.
Yeah.
I've seen quite a few stylists wear them when I go on set and stuff. Oh, man. I've seen quite a few stylists wear them.
Not here for the...
No, they're ones there, they're not for me. But...
No way.
They perform in the same way as like an Air Max, it's just, there's no way.
I guess so. Hide that bubble though, like, you know what I mean? That's insane.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Fashion can just be so weird. But like, I guess it's different horses for different courses, you know what I mean? Like, just because that's not for me, they made it for a reason, someone's bought it. It's like, I'd never thought in my life I'd ever see the Balenciaga fucking... What is it? They look like Ashers. That's the only way I can describe
them. Oh, yeah.
And I sent it to him in the group chat, and I was like...
Ooh. Yeah, I'll take it open the door.
Should I say anything about them?
Nah, just keep going.
It's fine. Cool. So we were speaking about fast fashion. We were speaking about the state of fashion, innit?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, well, that's... So I guess that point that I made about if it's not for me... For someone else, them Balenciagas I spoke about, but yeah, I think it was more angling at what people are wearing and fast fashion, I guess, is be interesting to get your take on it because obviously you do what you do on a much smaller scale, which I guess would increase the level of products you're gonna get because that's the thing with fast fashion, it's quickly out, there's no real care in it, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, obviously with our like operation, it's quite small. Mm. So it's quite controlled in what we produce and how much we're producing. Obviously, fast fashion is...
just copy and paste, isn't it?
Well, it's destroying everything, isn't it? From the planet, creativity, literally just everything. That's one of the reasons that we have like our own studio because we wanted to just be able to be in control of... ourselves basically have some autonomy in terms of what we create and who we create it for, and just
I think that's the best freedom still. Because I think that would be what I imagine would frustrate you the most is if someone was on your back telling you no, it needs to be this way. I think you'd want that project to be like, this is how I saw it and this is how I envisioned it turning out.
And naturally, finances dictate a lot of stuff, innit? So, especially when you're creating for somebody else, it's like, no, it needs to be like this. And you're like, well, this will be the best way it could look.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, this way will sell the most.
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah, but the creativity, then, I mean, they should appreciate what you're designing if they're that interested in fashion.
You don't want to compromise that.
No, I think
it's quite a tough battle.
No, of course, because it's always that thing that happens with art is you've got like the studio guys or the studio heads who are just thinking about like this needs to make maximum profit, whereas you as the creative is like, nah, the way you want to go about it is dead, like the end product is just not going to be up to scratch. Has that ever happened where you've had conflict where you've been like, nah, they want
and let's say they want this jacket to do this, but it needs to do this if it's going to bang.
Yeah, no, it happens all the time, because especially, so like, what we do, this studio is called Atelier R&R, which is Workshop Reese and Rachel, which obviously is my better half and stuff, my fiance Rachel, who is obviously half the team.
Yeah.
Sometimes three quarters of the team and now. But yeah, nah, so some people will come to us and say, okay, I have a design and I want to realize it. I want it to come into fruition. So then we will say, okay, the drawing is good, but what you've drawn over here is not realistic in real life. Yeah. You know what I mean? So the way that pulls over, the body doesn't look like that, or you like this seam line here, but in real life, the torso is actually a lot shorter than that. Yeah. So as the way how long you drew it, it's not going to look like that in real life at all. It'll be better like this.
So I was watching an episode of Don't Tell the Bride recently. This had me in tears. So he did that, is exactly what happened. He wanted to design her wedding dress from scratch. And my God, like, what he thought was happening, like, here, he thought it'd be sick if, it was see-through on her wedding dress.
See-through.
And it looked like, when he was trying to explain it to the lady, she was doing what I'm sure you'd do, like, that's just, it's going to look ridiculous.
Yeah.
Right? He's like, no, I've got the vision, like, I'm sure it's going to look great. She was like, no, it's going to look ridiculous. When the dress was finally made, my God, poor girl, she was crying on the phone. She was like, yo, we might have to lock off the wedding. It's just it's insane that people don't take good advice when someone's trying to give it to them in those situations.
It happens, literally happens all the time. And sometimes we're like, do you know what? No problem. Yeah, you're right. I'm going to make it for you and I'll show you. I'll wait till it's done. Obviously, you have to pay me twice. So
I said, you don't want
to take my advice. I'm telling you, this is, I promise you, it's not going to come out the way you imagined, because I've done similar designs like that, or I've experimented and I've seen what happens in it. So I say, no, are you sure?
Yeah.
You're sure? No problem. I'll do exactly how you said. And then they'll see it and they're like, oh, maybe I should have it a bit shorter. Or I said, I know.
I told you.
I knew that was going to happen. Just because sometimes the way you imagine it, it doesn't
just one word.
Yeah, it doesn't happen. That's like that me at as well,
because I can see it in my head.
Even after the sketch. Even after the sketch.
Yeah, because a sketch is not like, well, it depends on who's drawing as well, but a sketch is not like proportional to real life. So they might have a seam line that's like from here to like here on the draw, one really wiggly one. But
what?
If you have a seam line that's like a really wiggly one, I'd be like, okay, that's all good, but you chose this material. What's going to happen from this material is there's going to be lines that come from, there's going to be like puckering that comes from the wiggles in this material. So you might think it might look crisp and flat, but in real life, when you see it, it won't look anything
people
like that.
Dumb.
So sometimes people take our advice and then they're like, when they see the final thing, they're like, I'm so glad I took that advice.
What
and then sometimes they're like,
would you say people take the advice?
What do you reckon? Yeah, I think it's pretty good.
A lot of people see. I thought he was going to say, like, no, more time to.
No, a lot of people see our personal works, innit? So when they come from, like, our Instagram or anything, they see our personal works. And as me and Rachel are both designers ourselves, sometimes we might take a little control as well and say, okay, this person wanted it like this, but I know that's not how they're imagining it.
Yeah.
They're imagining it like this, and I'll do it like how I think they want it, not how they said they wanted it.
I think, but that's, do you know what's crazy to me about that is, like, if I come to you, I'm coming to you because I know your work's good, like, I trust you. I think it's, I don't want to say disrespectful to come to the artist and be like, actually, I want it this way. To me, that's mad, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I hear it, like, it happens all the time, innit? Because this is sometimes it's something somebody's been really thinking about, dreaming of, and all of these kind of things. So when they're now told, no, Jossie is, or it's not going to work like how you imagine, just shattering somebody's dreams, isn't it?
Yeah,
so,
yeah, yeah.
Take it personally.
What are you going
to
say?
They'll take it personally.
I think I'm not going to go to like Rick Owens and be like, oh yeah, do you know what? Can you just make this little... Like, it's Rick Owens. Like,
yeah.
What?
Yeah, talk to me properly, innit? It? Yeah.
Yeah. I wouldn't blame.
100%, man.
But obviously, in our studio, we do a lot of like sampling for lots of different brands and like startup companies and all that kind of stuff. So it's more about what they want. Do you know what I mean? So we try to align it as close as possible as what they want within reason of what will look good and what will actually work.
Yeah. I think that's the best approach because I don't see anything else working. Like, but, you know, people are going to be people at the end of the day. That's really surprised me, the fact that, because I think I'd go to the artist and just trust her.
Trust her better judgment, surely. Mm, yeah. Do you know what I mean? What's been the thing you've done or project you've done you've been the most proud of?
As an individual or like, because obviously I'm really proud of my graduate collection because it took 9 months to create.
Yeah.
Mm. I'm doing everything. I'm designing it. I'm doing all the patterns, I'm doing all the twirls, I'm doing all the samples, and then we flew to New York, we chose the fabrics, do you know what I mean? And then we made it, so that's a long time, 9 months.
That's crazy.
Of gestation, that's my baby, do you know what I mean? So, obviously I'm really proud of that, but I'm also like proud of like different works that we've done, like helping Rachel with her master's degree, and proud of just a lot of work, to be honest. Yeah. A lot of works, because we don't like to leave any work that we're not happy with. Yeah. I mean, sometimes it might cut into our pocket. We'll do something for a client and we're like, do you know what, I actually don't like that. Or I think it could have been done better or done this way. They might have suggested this way, but it would have been better this way.
Have you rejected a project because you didn't like how or what they wanted to do with it, or it just didn't sit right with you, like that's just not something that interests me?
I don't really think so. We might reject a project if like there's too short notice, or they're asking us to create something in a textile that we don't really use.
Got you.
So if someone said, I want it in leather and they want to do this, there's a lot of special machines that you need to use to do leather.
Could you like size it up, do it, get like, for example, if I wanted a leather coat, right? Well, not a leather coat, but a leather blazer. Could you do everything, make sure it's nice, and then send it off to someone, they do the machine, and then...
Yeah, no, we can do that.
Oh, okay, cool.
We can do that.
My dreams are not crushed.
Yeah.
I don't have the money, but bro, like, one day, innit?
Yeah, no, we can do that. We can do like... It's quite a long process. When you see clothes, you don't even realise how long the process is. When people come to us, we're like, yeah, there's this, there's this, there's this, there's this.
No.
Like, whoa, I just wanted a t-shirt. I'm like, yeah, but do you have a starting block? No, I don't. So how big do you want it?
This
I
don't big.
Know. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like, I want it my size. Okay, so let me measure you up. If you want it a unique type of style or a new, unique jacket, we might have a block to start off with.
Yeah.
But if we don't, then I'm drawing out the lines from scratch on a piece of paper. So then there's that process. So the process kind of goes, take the idea, you'll have a technical drawing which shows you like the inside specifications of what somebody wants to do. And then they'd give it to us, then we would pattern cut it first. Well, sometimes you can just pattern cut it straight away, depending on what the design is. Sometimes I might drape it on a mannequin to see if I like the shapes or if it's around about the shapes that they wanted before I manipulate on the paper.
Yeah.
So I'll get calico, which is the fabric, you know, the plain fabric that you see over there. And I'll drape it on the mannequins. Then from there, I'll take it off the mannequin. I'll just call that true in the lines, so any of the dots that I've done that are like a bit wiggly, I'll get rulers and like straighten them off and stuff like that. Then I'll take that and I'll pin the calico thing back together, check the shape that it fits as if it was sewn. If it's right, then I'll put paper down, I'll trace them all around the shape of all the patterns that I've done. I'll re-true all the lines again onto paper. Now I've got the paper one, now I take that same paper and I cut out the same calico and then I sew it up. So then that will get me the basic of what they wanted. That's not even the real fabric here. I mean, that's just the basis. And if you come to us with nothing, then it's going to be a long process.
Yeah, I see.
You know what I mean? So.
Nah, that's mad. I mean, yeah.
Because me, I'm pretty much, listen, if I walk out like that, I'll be calm. With that blazer, I'm all right, I'm good. But the fact that that's just what, that's the second stage.
Yeah, that's the second stage. So that one would from that would go on the client, then it will get altered anywhere. They like readjusted the fit.
Mm.
There's a lot of like technical aspects, talking about pitch and crookening and straightening, like these like terminologies that you're using, like tailoring for pitches, like the amount of bend there is in somebody's arm.
Right.
So then you're calculating for how much bend there is in somebody's arm and how the jacket will sit. And you might, I don't know, you might have suit jackets where you feel like your arm is a bit forward in the jacket, and you might see some pulling on the top of your delts, even though that jacket is your size.
Yeah.
That's because you got it off the peg and it's not accounted for the pitch of your arm or the highness of your armpit. Right. And there's a lot of technical details, isn't it? You're calculating the circumference of somebody's arm. You're using that Pythagoras theorem and that's it's a lot.
You don't even think about that. That's, I think, the beauty of, if you go to someone like yourself, like, it's for you. It's one-on-one. I think that's the beauty of the experience. Like, everything is accounted for. As people, we're all different, and our bodies move and groove in different ways. So that is, I think that would be the true, that would make the experience amazing, because it is yours. Like, no one else on the planet can say they have this. Like, they're not going to have your measurements and whatnot.
Yeah.
So I think that makes it a very interesting experience.
Yeah, nice. It's really good. I think that would be like the best thing for us to have our own things. And obviously that's somewhat the direction fashion will go into, especially with like metaverse stuff and Clo3D and these types of things. You'll be able to have your measurements there. Ready to make real garments in the real world. So I think that's where we're heading.
Who for you has been your most like exciting client, like, or the job you've been like, when it came your way, you was most excited about?
I don't know, you know. Who was our first one? Was it JLS?
That, what, you wanna
talk about alterations? Alterations,
yeah. Yeah, so like on top of like designing and like sampling and designing for some companies, sampling for companies and those types of things, we also do like VIP like alterations and celebrity clients and stuff.
So they'll bring something they bought from, let's say, the Gucci store, and then they'll bring it here, get it altered to their size.
We have like an agent, Karen, and then she might text me or call me and say, "Reese, I've got JLS. They need to be altered. Like, they've got suits that need to be done and altered for the, what's it called, the National Television Awards, isn't it? National Television Awards. Can you go to the O2 Arena, bring your kit, and alter them at the thing?" So then I'll go to backstage O2. We'll go into the room, meet all the guys, do their alterations on set, and then
What alterations do you like? So just to have an idea, when you
so like the trousers might be a bit too long for you, or like swinging, or his boot cut, or whatever. I mean, boot cuts and them.
Yeah, we should have called you for a Ghanaian wedding.
Yeah.
So wait, listen.
Was it fits all wrong?
Nah, it was. We.
The future is a hefty responsibility, and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You know when intuition is just there and it's just saying, no, don't do it.
Yeah.
Mm.
So basically, one, the groom basically sent all the measurements to a uncle in Ghana. And he said, oh yeah, it's going to be a tight fit. I told him, don't do a tight fit, because by the time it gets to, so this was in January, by the time it gets to May, I would have at least
put on some, a little piece, is what you said.
Yeah, I would have at least changed shape.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So then I even said to him, you know, I won't even do legs just because I don't trust the measurements that's going to happen. The suits came. It was different. It was like...
Is it too tight?
It's African. It's the African garment,
yeah.
Okay.
And it's tighter than tight.
Yeah.
So you can't move. I can't sit down. I can't do this.
Yikes.
Stuff like that. So I sent it back to him. It was like, yeah, no, it's because you guys did it wrong. I said, no,
Yeah, but it's tricky because he's trying to hit a moving target with you. If you're saying you're going to like...
And no, and
your
the thing is,
we
gave
change.
Loose measurements as well and he made it tight.
Yeah.
And it's like, bro, what are you doing?
I don't like doing measurements or alterations for people that are not there because there are so many things to account for on
yeah,
a body.
Yeah, yeah.
There are so many things to account for.
And that's one of the things because we, a few years before that, we were at a Nigerian wedding and the person we went to, we physically did the measurements and great thing was he lived in Chadwell St. Mary and we just live in Chafford at that time. So then it was just like, okay, we go from here to here, we get done. And it was nice, it was smooth, everything was perfect. I could dance, I could do the pin drop if I needed to. But on this one, on this occasion, I was not moving.
Yeah.
You're just stationary. If in a wedding, if it broke, I didn't care.
Yeah.
Mad.
We done some like African garments not too long ago, innit? And so we measured up the client. And then he sent the measurements because he didn't want to do the measurements. He wanted to get them all right. So he didn't do the measurements. He asked, he's like, Reese, can you do these measurements for me? I'm going to send them to my tailor in was it in Ghana? Was it in Nigeria? One of the two anyway. I think it was in Nigeria. I think he was going to Ghana for a wedding. So he sent them and then they came back. And I gave him extra measurements because the Nigerian tailor, he was like, give me the chest, the waist, the hip, the inside leg, maybe the outside leg, and these types of things. I'm like, okay, some of the extra measurements I use when I'm doing something, do you need the thigh? Do you need the bicep at the bent arm? Because like when you do this, your arm is bigger.
And that was like, that was a big problem.
Do you want the bent arm size? Because sometimes patterns look strange. Like, there are basic shapes, and then when you start doing bespoke stuff, they look strange because it's for a specific person. So that person might have quite an oversized bicep, but then a really skinny forearm. So then the pattern should look like this, but now it looks like this. Do you know what I mean? You need to account for that. And if you don't take the mid measurements, you won't be able to get, you won't be able to get that kind of level of accuracy. So I did that for the guy, sent it to the tailor, and then he sent it back. He sent the stuff. It fit pretty well, but one of the things was the armhole was too high. It was too high, wasn't it? And we had to lower the sleeve for him. But the guy kind of didn't account for his bicep because this guy, he's regular shaped, but his biceps are quite big because he hits gym. So the biceps were really tight where he couldn't really like squeeze his arm into it. And obviously he's like, I've got to go to Ghana, like next week there's no way I can get it to thing. So he was like, okay, can you cut off these sleeves, recover? So I was like, what we can do, there's nothing we can do physically, our end, the fabric is over there. So what we can do for you is we can cut off these sleeves and cut off the cuffs of it, and then you can have your tailor, I'll give you the new measurements of what you need because the guy's done it wrong. And obviously the tailor, he was obviously very apologetic, saying obviously he's definitely done it wrong on his end and not on our end. And then he sent the sleeves from Nigeria to Ghana, and then my client met his garment in Ghana where the wedding was, and they had a tailor, a local one there, just sew it up kind of thing, so he could wear it. So yeah, with especially with African garments and the methods of tailoring that they use, there's hundreds of different methods of tailoring.
But what's crazy is just like how, because I've always, in those sort of experiences, I've had to get things made as well, and you just give them the basics, but it's amazing how like the impact that just those could have. Something could still go wrong, like it's still asking for trouble.
It's when you get into it, fashion's a lot more technical than people just think that it's just cloth that you just dash on. Can you just do this for me? I'm like, for me to do that for you, I need to do this and this type. Oh, I thought you could just sew it like, I'm like, that's not how it works.
I thought when you were saying you gave chest, inside leg, I'm trying to think, like waist, just the regular measurements that you hear of, thought my guy would have been fine, but it's insane to think.
The tailor there and missed something, and then,
so that's the whole project back. It's important to, I think that's the most important thing. You have to be comfortable in the clothes you're wearing, otherwise I don't care how nice it looks, if it ain't.
What about skinny jeans? Last man was suffering.
skinny jeans.
Yeah.
I wasn't uncomfortable though.
Nah. Especially when I came out of the gym, man.
But the skinny jeans got like stretch, like
when it was gym life, it was very hard. Even now, like I can't wear jeans, man.
I haven't worn jeans in
in
a good 6 years.
My thighs are just different, man.
You're gonna have to talk to me. What are you wearing? So obviously you're wearing cargos at the moment, that's not jean material. What's your alternative now?
I don't know, this I usually just wear like some type of trouser in it, like a cotton trouser or a wool trouser.
Mm.
Or my like scuba tracksuit, my neoprene like tracksuit bottoms, or my regular like tracksuit bottoms. That's what I wear mostly, to be fair.
Why the push away from jeans?
Uncomfortable?
Yeah, more about comfortability more than anything.
So uncomfortable, man.
I'd be in a tracksuit all day if I could. All day, every day.
Also, I don't even know what style of jean would like suit me anymore, because I just feel like
It went from
so far away from that
loose to skinny to straight. Now it's back to loose. Crazy.
Yeah, they got flares.
Flares.
Yeah, everyone's on the flares.
I'm feeling the flares a bit, but not too much. Not heavy, where it's just I'm here doing Jackson 5.
Jackson 5.
Yeah,
we do a few clients where they're like, they'll come bring their jeans into us and they're like, can you flare it a little bit and stuff?
Flare it?
Yeah. Some of them look really, really good though. Some of them look really, really good.
I don't know about that, but that's as in I'm sure the job you do is good, but as in,
as in for your personal style.
No, you'll definitely like it. I don't know about maybe personally, but like my friend Nux, he will do his trouser and like flare. He always wants flares in it, so
say a word.
Yeah, Nux is groovy with it, isn't it? He does things differently.
I've got to see this, the rapper. Yeah you might not ask questions while I get up now.
Your personal clothes, right? Because you speak about all this like alterations you make. So let's say you wanted to go out and buy something, and you just find the fits a little bit off. And obviously, if you go back, they're gonna say, "Oh, get a bigger size."
Yeah.
In your case, you go, "Fuck it, I'm coming here. And I'm just gonna switch up."
No, we do that. We do that all the time.
That's sick.
There's always like when I buy clothes, usually there's just something that just. A little something that I don't like about it, so I'm like, I'll buy it anyway.
Yeah.
I'll just take over it myself. Even as, like, I might take off the sleeves and put a different sleeve on it, or I'm like, I really like how these trousers fit on the waist, but the boot cuts is looking mad, so I'll just send it down or shorten them or whatever. So I can buy, like, a size up from myself in pretty much anything and then change it to what I want. But obviously, there's limitations. You can't get, like, 10 sizes to and change it to yourself, because the way things get sized up, you can't really do that.
Yeah. I guess, what's been your experience in terms of that? How has your knowledge impacted how you dress and the choices you make when it comes to clothes?
You know, I dress quite comfortably for myself. I dress quite comfortably for myself, just because I'm in the space all the time, and I'm doing stuff you might not just want to be wearing.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean, a big fan over doing. Do you know what I mean? So yeah, I always just dress quite casually and quite easy. If funds were limitless, then I might dress a bit funky, innit? If I'm getting somewhere special or something, then I might try something, but. Usually, I just dress all black. Usually, from seeing a bit of green on me is like a luxury. Like,
fair enough.
If you open my wardrobe, then you'll just see mine and Rachel's clothes all black. Everything. You'll see a one white top or something like that, or one grey top, or I've got one green top. That's about it.
It's functionality, I guess, as well.
Is that to avoid like season colours? Because every single 6 months, a colour will just change. Or sometimes there's even a continuation of a colour that's just a bit random, but is that just to avoid the whole colour scheme and just wear all black and just be like, this is me,
you know?
Yeah.
It can be, but for me, I don't know, I just like black, it's easy. And I'm just lazy, but Rachel, she wears, she always wears all black, but like, now she's like, we'll wear more like muted or neutral colours. So, like, like neutral browns and creams and those types of things. But yeah, because these things are neutral, they're not going to be seasonal, innit? They're going to be just around forever.
Okay.
What's the future of fashion, would you say? What can we expect to see in the next decade?
Then could you get me a battery in that bag?
Because you alluded to it with the NFTs and
the
metadata stuff. Metadata, metaverse stuff, metadata. I'm thinking. Because that does make sense, like having your exact measurements on the internet and be able to get stuff like that.
Yeah.
Skipping all of the stuff that you'd probably go through in real life.
Yeah.
Sorry, lads.
That's all right.
Do
you think like the major fashion like houses will start to like migrate there if they've not done it already?
Yeah.
Over to all of those places.
Yeah, definitely. I think they will. They've started to already. Yeah, I've seen. Yeah, McQueen's got something.
Shout out to Alexander.
McQueen's got like tracks and stuff that have NFT tokens inside the label, so that your garment can be attached to a blockchain, so you know that your garment is the authentic one.
Mm. Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So there is that direction in things. If you're talking about in terms of style, I don't know. Style is so hard to somewhat predict, isn't it? Because loads of things are coming in and coming out, and style changes along with technology that comes about as well.
Yeah.
Like a lot more tech wear has been in as of recent, and a lot more waterproofing materials and color changing materials and all that kind of stuff. Like you might see Dave with the Stone Island jumper that's changing color and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that was hard as bricks.
Yeah,
I'm gonna be in floods of tears though. Like if my child comes to me and says, "Yo, I need 150 for new clothes," and I come to find out, "Yo, it's for Fortnite." what are we on?
That's where we're headed.
You better buy him them clothes, you know.
Yeah.
Otherwise, the school's gonna get tortured.
Yeah, well, gonna be
your fault. His friends are going to be dripping on him, man.
Yeah. Yo, kids are going to come to school and say, "What, you don't got the Balenciaga 55s on your avatar?"
But then, what are people dead.
Bro, that's what's going to happen.
What are people going to wear, like, on the outside? Like, obviously, spandex. You still need clothes, huh?
No, it's going to be neutral colours. And if the metaverse is very successful, I think this is what the future of the metaverse is to wear glasses or contact lenses. So then now what you're going to do is wear neutral clothes. And whatever you buy on the metaverse, you're going to be wearing in the actual world. Only virtually you'll be able to see it with the glasses. I think that's what's really going to be pushing towards the future. Because sustainability in the sense of you're not buying so many clothes, you're not buying so many things.
Mm.
But now in this virtual reality, you're not... I mean, there's zero emissions in terms of producing stuff.
You imagine, say, like, that's the material. Say, everyone's just wearing that black. That
I would say all grey, because all grey makes sense.
Yeah, you know what I'm getting to. And everyone wears that material, and then they wear the glasses, and then that's what you see.
Yeah, you're going to see. You're going to see Dior coming out, like, just.
Do you know what they wear when they're.
I always think there'll be an element of, like, practicality, though, and, like, wearing real clothes in real life, because.
Mm.
There's real weather. Do you know what I mean? So,
yeah. You can't escape it.
Yeah.
There's real weather, so do you know what I mean? You need to have a jacket on sometimes. Mm. Sometimes it's going to be hella hot, so you're going to
need to wear shorts. But I'll probably incorporate a jacket into it. Like, do you know what they wear when they're... motion capture suits.
Is that what you're going
to say? That's the direction I think they're going to go in. Like, you wear your motion capture, and then when you've got the glasses on, I can see your drip.
That's... We're laughing now, but listen... It wouldn't surprise me.
No, that would somewhat be kind of lit, though.
Nah,
that would be so cool. That would actually be somewhat cool if they had that in it.
I'd be unstoppable if they did that.
If you can code, you can just create your own drippers on it.
God, and people will break the system. Like,
I think that is going to be the future.
Yeah, but then someone's gonna ask you. Let me see your NFT ID, though. That is a fake.
Because now that was gonna be my question.
let me see your NFT ID, bro.
That's a fact.
Yeah.
Yo, how can I prove that this Canada Goose is real?
Yeah, man said that code is looking a bit sketchy.
Let me verify that.
And more importantly, if like for example Nike or Adidas, they turn around and do the limited stuff, then boy, if anybody has the fakey, then.
Fugazi.
Yeah.
Fugazi. I've got the Reebok thing in the
I'm excited for it now, actually. I was a bit on the fence, but yo, you guys.
I think that's where it's going to go. I think that's where it's genuinely going to go because
it'll be interesting.
Yeah, because they're gonna say it's all safe for an environment, it's zero emissions, it's so on and so forth. And you know, with this one, you can style anywhere, you can do anything, and all you have to do is only wear. You only have to have 3 items in your closet. Mm,
true.
The only thing you're gonna have to change is probably maybe Air Force Ones.
Yeah. It's only emissions on one front, though, because obviously electricity is...
Of course, yeah. Especially with lithium batteries.
Yeah. It's just crazy things that we're going to have to think of. Like, oh, fuck, I broke my closed glasses, or I've got a tear in my mocap suit. Now what am I going to do?
Yeah.
Come here, get a tailor. It's
going to be mad, you know, because the thing is, if you lease it and then you don't pay the lease on time... Just walk, boy. Imagine just you, fully Balenciaga'd out, and the next thing just, joop.
It's gone.
So what happened?
Someone's looking at you, and then your thing starts looking like,
you're in a white noise scenario. Yeah.
That I can your see thing glitched and said, nah, your finance run out.
Imagine your finance run out.
Trip's expired, bro.
Imagine you have all the trips for a date possible, and then all of a sudden, like Emmanuel says, just cuts out. Now what? She's just looking at white plain, or is this like the blue screen of death on her laptop?
I've seen there's one Black Mirror episode where they could block people.
Yes.
In like real life.
In real life, they yeah.
Be like that in your glasses, but your drip is gone.
Bro, that's mad.
That's the future, exciting future, bro. Honestly, I like the idea of that.
No,
sure. Honestly,
just make sure that your finances is patterned otherwise.
Have to.
Yeah.
Maybe. Could get a peek out here.
Honestly.
All right, do you have any other questions?
Yeah, what fashion house would you work for if there was an opportunity for you to do so?
Christian Dior.
Yeah, I'd definitely work for Dior. I'd definitely work for Yohji Yamamoto.
Mm. Okay.
That's my favorite designer still.
Okay.
I think it'd be cool to work for any of the big fashion houses.
Yeah.
Really.
Mm.
You know, IRSD, aren't we? People like the cool people
that like. Yeah. Like, I'll. Yeah, anyone that's into innovation, Izzy Miyake would be so cool to work for.
Mm.
I don't know if you've seen any of his clothes and stuff, but.
Nope.
Yeah, they're.
Yeah, that's all we know. That's literally all I know.
Nah, the clothes are amazing.
The clothes as well, yeah.
So you've got crazy maths. Like geometry, because they can like, you might be wearing a t-shirt and then you can let go of it and it'll fold itself up into a square.
Oh shit!
Like, yeah.
Get what?
Yeah, their clothes are cool and they're like.
As in, it's like it's how.
It's got like
powers.
It's got like grooves, ironed into it, so then like, when it collapses, it collapses in into grooves.
The grooves. What right. The and fuck? I've got to see this for myself.
Yeah. So you can't iron it out.
No, you can't iron it out.
We'll edit it in.
It would have to be like a poly material. Like,
right.
If it's for poly, then it will melt in that shape. And if it was a cotton, then it would fall. The pleats would fall
out.
Yeah,
yeah.
But yeah, that's a lot of like his stuff. His collection called Pleats Please.
You're not lying, to be honest, because there are some materials that do have set structure. So like you could have it just as like a normal cloth material. The moment you dunk it in cold water, it changes into its actual shape.
Mm.
So you're not too far from the tree. So yeah, that kind of does make sense. But it's like, bro, I'm still gonna iron it.
Some of these clothes are made from like materials that don't crinkle in it. So then you wouldn't have to iron it ever. It's just made in that way. You just give it one shake and it's.
That's it.
I've got to see this. That is. But yeah, insane.
Izzy Mackie, you'd be wicked to work for.
Izzy, keep doing your thing.
Hussein Shalayan, wicked to work for. Anyone that's really innovative. I like Dion Lee, I like Peter. I'm going to say Do. Some people say Do. I want to work for David Comer. There's like so many brands that I would love to work for just because I think they're cool.
Yeah, no, I respect that.
Obviously, my favourite guy is Yohji Yamamoto.
That's your guy, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. skills.
Another question as well. Do you think Rick Owens is just recycling the same thing? Like the same style?
Surely.
Well, Rick Owens has a very specific style, isn't it? Mm. But he's got really, really cool ways of pattern cutting. So to the regular eye, it might just look like JP t-shirts. But when you like have a look at how it's constructed, you're like, whoa, this fits over here.
Mm.
And it makes it fall slightly differently.
Yeah.
It, overall, the style's pretty similar. But how he makes that, how he creates it, if you know about creating garments, you're like, yeah, that's very cool.
Mm.
But yeah, but he has his own, he has a very specific style, isn't it?
Yeah.
A very specific niche. So I like Rick Owens. I saw him one time actually.
Oh, say what?
Yeah, I was walking down Savile Row with Rachel and some of my other friends, and he was walking with his wife Michelle Lamy.
Okay.
So they was walking across on the other side of the street, and I was thinking to myself, what was all that? We should go say hello.
Mm.
Yup. What's happening?
Yeah, we were thinking we should go say hello. There were, but the street was dead. There was nobody on the street. Just
right.
Us
mm.
and them. And they was walking so slowly and just so nicely. We thought,
it's not worth
yeah, we don't want to disturb their peace. They, that looks so nice.
Mm. Mm.
I would like a job, but we didn't want to ruin the moment for them. So we was just like,
nah,
it was just nice to appreciate them from afar, innit?
So, I see.
That's cool. That's on Savile Row, which is even more cool.
It's a good story to have.
Yeah, we've bumped into a few people, worked for a few different people, so we get to meet cool people all the time. To be fair,
who's the coolest?
It was really cool to meet, and obviously we worked for Oswald Bote.
Okay.
He's massive, like he's like 6'6" or something like that, and his voice is so deep that when he talks, like when he's talking to you, your chest is like vibrating. Yeah, it was and you can just feel his like aura, his presence is strong.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
When he's in the room, you just know he's there, innit? That was really cool because obviously when we come out of university, we had like a little, we had like a small job designing, like helping him design some stuff and do some like technical drawings for things that he's designed and just helping basically bring it back, bring it to life. So that was a really cool person to meet. But I don't know who else we met. That's Rachel met Dave. Well, she went to an alterations shoot where she met Dave, Giggs, Getz.
Oh, for the Brits.
Friend of Fire.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah. Richard Dunder.
Pick up the Was he nice?
Yeah.
The nicest person I've ever worked with was Ashley Walters.
Yeah.
I worked with him literally yesterday. He was the nicest person I've ever worked with. Yeah.
Oh, pick up yourself. Top Boys returning as well.
Yeah.
Yep.
The Shay! By the time this comes out, would it be?
No.
Not yet. No, it wouldn't.
Not yet.
Okay.
Yeah.
Close though.
My. I don't know, it's because some of the jobs that we get are just so random. Like my agent might call me up and say, "Rhys, are you free today?" "Yeah, I'm free. Can you go to Leona Lewis's house and do her alterations?" Do you know what I mean? So then I'll fly up to her house and do. Do you know what I mean? So it's really you meeting like lots of different people, and it's really cool, isn't it? Obviously you can't.
Is the alterations where the bag? Is the alterations where the bag is mostly?
It can be, yeah. It depends. It just depends, isn't it, on the job that you're doing, the size of the job, and the amount of people that are there. If you get paid their rate, or if you're gonna get paid by the hour, there's all types of like
deliverables.
Yeah, variables and stuff.
Okay.
But it's the least stress, yeah, right, for the most money for sure.
Got you.
Especially because we're not doing things from scratch, and we're just altering things that already exist.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was.
Would you ever translate your creativity into shoes?
Yes. If I didn't do fashion, then I would have made shoes. I would have been a cobbler or a cordwainer, I think they're called.
Cordwainer, yeah.
So I applied, that was my fifth option at London College of Fashion for university, was to do the cordwaining course at London College of Fashion. So I would have created shoes and trainers. I just love shoes and trainers.
Like, yeah.
Just to observe them, and I follow so many pages that like make shoes from scratch, and they're pulling the leather and the hammering. I follow loads of it, so I would love to take a course up in that at some point in time, just to understand it before I design some stuff. Understand it.
Anyone else? Any other questions, lads?
How do you feel about the passing of Virgil Abloh?
It is really, like, really, really sad. Obviously, because he's so young, and he has, like, so much. He definitely has so much more to give. It's really sad. And obviously, he's very impactful in the fashion world. It's super sad. When anyone dies, it's sad, but especially when they die
young.
Young. And of like cancer and those types of things, it's just super sad, isn't it? So I would have loved to see what he would be creating in 10, 15 years.
Exactly.
It was sad, especially just because of how strong his influence was. He's definitely a figure that we'll miss.
He paved the way for a lot of creatives, and like when I speak to people that have like directly met him and like had long conversations with him or have his number where they talk to him and stuff, when I meet these kind of people, like the like review they give of him is like always so kind, isn't it? They're like, even before he passed, they're like, he's so cool, like he's offering me advice about this and that, and actually helping me directly, innit? Would have been cool to meet him still.
Absolutely. His legacy will live on, though. He's made so many amazing things, and people put a lot of stock in what he's done. So,
he'll
live on.
All right, I guess music?
Yeah, music.
So, you can explain it. Go ahead.
We have a playlist and we put songs on it. That's literally it. That's all I was going to say. And we all pick one song each. So, anything you're listening to right now, just chuck it on our playlist.
Can I put two songs?
No, you know the rules. I don't know why you're trying to bend them.
I dash a Potter on there.
There's two songs here that just recently came. I don't know what's going on with this camera.
Right, while he's getting to it, my choice is Russ Millions and Friend, Reggae and Calypso.
Dope.
Does it need to be new?
Nah.
Could be anything, man.
Could be new, could be old.
Let me check.
Could be classical. Could be Bollywood.
Bollywood.
I said a young Mozart.
Go on.
I really like a song by Cadiata. It's called Margarita.
Okay.
I actually want to put three songs on my
list. Nah, come on, man.
Taking a piss. Alright, I'm going to pick one of the songs. Yes. What's it called again?
Margarita,
yeah.
By Cadiata.
Cool. We will give it a spin. My choice is going to be one of E-Man's choices. It's Pusha T, Diet Coke.
Okay, yeah.
I thought so. now you have two choices now, yeah?
Ritual by AZ Conway the Machine. What's your beef?
There's no beef.
Say it with your chest. What's your beef?
I just knew Griselda would feature somehow.
Respect. I can't actually remember the song. If it's just 2 seconds. Give me 2 seconds. Hold on. I've got it somewhere.
Can't be that good then, can you?
Like, say that louder because I didn't hear it. On the side of the room. You know what I mean? So the song is Hide and Seek by Nux.
It's the new one you put out.
Yeah.
Shout out to Nux, man.
No days off.
Yeah, man.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah.
Reese, tell the people where they can find you online, most importantly.
You can find us at Atelier R&R on Instagram. Well, it's actually R&R. What is that? Hey, let me check it, though. Yeah, that's what I meant.
What?
You can't put the ampersand in it.
R-A-R.
No,
yeah.
I'm lost.
Yeah, so it's R A R.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So obviously the A stands for and in it because we can't put an ampersand.
Got you.
Huh? Oh. So the yeah, so the Instagram is RAR Atelier, and that's RAR ATELIER.
Dope. Beautiful. Yeah, make sure you run that up. Yeah, episode
127.
Oh, for fuck's sake. Oh my God. Episode 127. Do you know how right I thought I was as well?
I know.
127. Reese, thank you for coming on.
Yeah, I appreciate your time.
Great guest, man, honestly.
Yeah, we wanted to get this done for time. I remember me and you going back and forth for like month. Like, when are we going to make this happen? Like, this day. I'm like, all right, I can't do this day.
We're here now.
Like, I feel like you hit me up like 1 year ago. Like,
yeah, time ago.
Reese, we need to get you on the pod. All right, when COVID, pow.
Yeah, exactly. But we're here now.
Yeah, exactly. We appreciate you and appreciate everything you're doing.
Thank you.
And next time we'll talk about controversial topics,
non-fashion topics.
Yeah, and I appreciate you guys. I've been seeing you, man, putting in the work in for a long time.
Yeah, man.
Before podcasts were even popular, I see you, man, had a podcast.
Consistency. That's what we were saying earlier today. So love for that as well.
When your thing blows up, massive bear man, we're thinking that
we'll be coming for alterations in that.
Exactly. Well, you know,
you man have been here forever.
Real, when the team blows up, we'll be coming for alterations.
Yeah,
I do need.
Yeah, we've got an event next week, no? Listen, we're pulling up.
Yeah, I definitely need a leather blazer for sure.
Yeah,
a leather blazer. I like it, but I'm trying to see how this would.
Don't worry, the vision is only for me to see.
You know when you're in the car. What about this?
Let me show you one.
Let me see.
Why can't I find him, Rach?
Michael?
Yeah.
If you can't find him, skip
to. I found it.
No, because I got something similar to that.
Of course, skip to has.
Whoa. You be bashing forward.
You ain't got something similar to this, my guy.
I got it from Zara. It's fairly similar, isn't it?
Nah, that's hard. That's hard as bricks. You know what? I see the vision.
Yeah, you ain't got nothing like that. This man is my favourite tailor.
It's a blazer coat. That's what it is.
Different gravy.
Yeah,
different
now this gravy, guy is my favourite. Michael Brown, shout him out still. He doesn't know who I am, but he's hard.
He'll know now.
After this.
Yeah, he's hard still. He's my favourite tailor. Do you see Unknown T's colours?
Yes.
With the little jacket. Mm. That's Michael
Brown. That's him. Okay.
That's when you see Skepta in them hard jackets, that's Michael Brown.
We see you.
Yeah, them Savile Row tailors there. Right. So if you want one of those jackets, you're looking at least $5,000.
Okay.
And on that note,
it's minor, man. It's minor.
Signing out.
After inflation, it's minor.
Till next time.
Until next time.